I awoke from a long but agitated sleep to a world that was black and white, but mostly black, with silver piping. I'd stolen some luminol from General Heydrich's country house outside Prague to help me sleep. He didn't need it for the simple reason that he was dead, and I certainly wouldn't have stolen it from him otherwise. But pills were even harder to get than booze, which, like everything else, was in short supply, and I needed them because, as an officer in the SD, I was a part of the horror now, much more than Heydrich. He was dead, buried the month before with full military honors, with a clove of garlic in his mouth and a stake through his heart. He was well out of it, his last thoughts of revenge upon his Czech assassins still suspended inside his elongated El Greco head, like so much frozen grey mud, and there was no more harm he could do anyone. But in my wretched efforts to stay alive at almost any cost, I could still hurt and be hurt in my turn, and as long as death's black barrel organ was playing, it seemed I would have to dance to the cheerless, doom-filled tune that was turning inexorably on the drum, like some liveried monkey with a terrified rictus on its face and a tin cup in its hand. That didn't make me unusual, just German. Berlin had a haunted look that summer, as if behind every tree and around each street corner was a screaming skull or some wide-eyed and shape-shifting Alp. Sometimes, when I woke in my bed at the flat in Fasanenstrasse, soaked with sweat, it was as if I'd had some demon sitting on my chest, crushing the breath out of me, and in my rush to draw a breath and check that I was still alive, I often heard myself cry out and reach to grab at the sour air I had exhaled during the day, which was when I slept. And usually I lit a cigarette with the alacrity of someone who needed the tobacco smoke to breathe a little more comfortably and to help overcome the omnipresent taste of mass murder and human decay that stayed in my mouth like an old and rotten tooth. The summer sunshine brought no joy. It seemed to exercise a sinister effect, making Berliners irritable with the broiling heat, because there was nothing but water to drink, and reminding them always of how much hotter it probably was on the dry steppes of Russia and Ukraine, where our boys were now fighting a battle that already looked like much more than we had bargained for. The late afternoon sun cast long shadows in the tenement streets around Alexanderplatz and played tricks on your eyes, so that the phosphenes on your retinas, the after-effects of the mercilessly bright light, seemed to become the greenish auras of so many dead men. It was in the shadows where I belonged and where I felt comfortable, like an old spider that simply wants to be left alone. Only there wasn't much chance of that. It always paid to be careful what you were good at in Germany. Once I'd been a good detective in Kripo, but that was a while ago, before the criminals wore smart grey uniforms, and nearly everyone locked up was innocent. Being a Berlin cop in 1942 was a little like putting down mousetraps in a cage full of tigers. On Heydrich's orders, I'd been working nights at the police presidium on Alexanderplatz, which suited me just fine. There was no proper police work to speak of, but I had little or no appetite for the company of my Nazi colleagues or their callous conversation. The Murder Commission, what remained of it, which existed to investigate homicides, left me to my own devices, like a forgotten prisoner whose face meant death for anyone unwise enough to catch a glimpse of it. I was none too fond of it myself. Unlike Hamburg and Bremen, there were no nighttime air raids to speak of, which left the city sepulchrally quiet, so very different from the Berlin of the Weimar years, when it had been the noisiest and most exciting city on earth. All that neon, all that jazz, and more especially all that freedom when nothing was hidden and nobody had to hide who or what they were. It was hard to believe things had ever been like that. But Weimar Berlin had suited me better. The Weimar Republic had been the most democratic of democracies, and yet, like all great democracies, it had been a little out of control. Prior to 1933, anything was permitted, since, as Socrates learned to his cost, the true nature of democracy is to encourage corruption and excess in all its forms. But the corruption and excesses of Weimar were still preferable to the biblical abominations now perpetrated in the name of the Nuremberg laws. I don't think I ever knew what mortal sin really meant until I lived in Nazi Germany. Sometimes, when I stared out my office window at night, I caught sight of my own reflection staring back at me. The same, but different, like another ill-defined version of myself. A darker alter ego, my evil twin, or perhaps a harbinger of death. Now and then I heard this ghostly, etiolated double speak sneeringly to me. Tell me, Gunther, just what will you have to do and whose ass will you kiss to save your miserable skin today? It was a good question. From my office eyrie in the east corner tower of police headquarters, I could more often hear the sound of steam trains pulling in and out of the station on Alexanderplatz. You could just see the roof, what was left of it, of the old Orthodox synagogue on Kaiserstrasse, which I think had been there since before the Franco-Prussian War, and was one of the largest synagogues in Germany, with as many as 1,800 worshippers,